when I was reading the passage from the Gospel this morning, and Jesus says, "Who do you say I am?" I was reminded of those bracelets that some people wear, WWJD, what would Jesus do? I suppose this would be WDYSIA, but what would Jesus, have you ever seen them or heard of these things? What would Jesus do? There's people madly, completely bemused. But lots of people do have these bracelets, especially in America. It was a big craze, what would Jesus do? Especially evangelical America, and it hit the teen market and became a fashion item. It verges between the brilliant and the blasphemous, doesn't it? You know, it's great that people are saying, what would Jesus do? It's mildly ridiculous to think that we could ever begin to live like Jesus and that he would live the kinds of lives that we lead. I can never imagine Jesus being ordained into the Church of England. It defies belief, doesn't it, really, that he would even be a part of an earthly church. But somehow I feel that I'm called to be ordained to the church. I mean, you make these decisions and do your best. The ridiculous aspect of it comes, I suppose. I was sent a thing this week, a big group of clergy had been meeting, and they'd been discussing WWJD, not what would Jesus do, but what would Jesus drive. And you know, this is where it all goes bonkers. So they went to the Bible and they decided that he'd probably drive a Honda, because in the Bible it says all the apostles were in one accord. And they came up with all kinds of crazy vehicles. The big one, of course, was the Prius. You know, Jesus would obviously drive a Prius because it was kind to the environment. I don't really understand how the Prius is that kind of the environment, with all these batteries and things and the technology that's encased within the Toyota Prius. I think the winner eventually was a camper van. They decided that, it's just very predictable, isn't it, really? They decided that Jesus would have a camper van because, you see, he'd be travelling around lots and he would want to be entertaining people for suppers and dinners and things, and so he'd invite them all in for sandwiches. I bemused on it. I thought he might have a Navara truck, because of course he was a builder, so he would need a big truck to take around all the sand and cement and stuff when he went building in places. The white van. Well, he could be a white van man. You never know, you see. He could be a white man. What all the clergy were agreed was that Jesus most certainly, definitely wouldn't drive an SUV. You see, he just wouldn't have a 4x4, which I thought was really bonkers, because, of course, if Jesus had a Land Rover or something, you see, then he could go to all these really remote places where he could meet all these people, you see. And, of course, Land Rovers are incredibly environmentally friendly because they last forever and don't need recycling. I think it's very important to drive a green vehicle. I have a light green vehicle and a dark green vehicle. You can see how difficult it is, though, once we start getting into the realms of what Jesus would do. The problem with Jesus, he's so unpredictable. And this is what the disciples found. See, here he was, the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed. But what would Jesus do then? He'll set up his kingdom, he'll get rid of the Romans, and he'll put me and you in positions of power and we'll rule. And then Jesus just confounds all their expectations and says, no, I'm going to die. And they must have been just absolutely amazed. Here was Jesus smashing all their expectations of him. And that's, of course, what Jesus does. And when we try and, you know, live human lives imagining what Jesus would do, I guess we would be amazed if we really knew the life that he would lead today. I look at the actions of Christians across the world. You know, the most Christian country, arguably, in the world, with a Christian leader in the White House, and it makes a preemptive strike against Iraq. Is that what Jesus would do? Well, all the Christian leaders in America think that it is. That I've been listening to all the evening, I think that things are a wonderful idea. But, I mean, not just picking on America. I mean, think of the whole, for those theologians amongst you, think of the whole doctrine of the just war. Can you imagine Jesus formulating the doctrine of the just war? This great theological undergirding of how we've conducted ourselves in Western civilization. The concept of a just war from the man who gave us the Beatitudes? Jesus confounding all of our expectations so often, challenging us to go back to our roots and question what we believe. an incredible leader, somebody who shakes us at the core of our foundations. Someone who says to us, forget all your learning, forget all your theology, your philosophy, become like children. And it seems that to get to the grip of what Jesus is really all about, we need to forget more than we learn. We need to go right back to basics. And we have at the heart of our faith a meal which reminds us that Christ died, that he shattered the illusions of those people who believed that they could work out what Jesus would do. We have at the core of our belief a doctrine which teaches us not about worldly success, but apparent human failure. And we come today and we take the bread and the wine, and if it does nothing else at all, it must try and shake us back so that we forget some of our preconceived ideas and are willing to learn afresh and realise that Jesus has far more to teach us than we will ever have years in which to learn. Let's try to get rid of some of the things that cloud our minds, that keep us in denominations, that argue with one another, and theologies which argue with one another and somehow disturb us from the life that Christ called us to lead. Let's use the bread and the wine to be an opportunity to break us and to mould us and to remind us of the kind of saviour that we have. Amen. We remain